You have no idea how much eating well affects your mood, your hormones, and your mental health in general.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hey guys, good morning and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. It's been a really fun, I think 6 months already, so that's half a year. Just me hanging out and talking to you guys, scolding you, giving suggestions about your life like I know any better. But I would like to think that I'm helping you live your life a little bit better, make this entrepreneurship journey a little bit more bearable, happier, and hopefully you learn, you know, a thing or two, or at least, you know, you're entertained with every episode. That is my goal. That is what really brings a lot of joy to me. And of course, you know, if along the way we get to meet each other, you get to visit me in the Philippines, Mexico, I get to see you in the States, and in any other country, just anywhere in person, basically, I hope that we can laugh about all the things that we talked about here in this podcast, and I would love to hear your comments, your suggestions, and your feedback as well. So I would like to ask everyone, I would love to make this ask actually today is a perfect time. If you could click follow or subscribe to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave me up to a 5-star review, that would make me super duper happy, not just me, and my team who's working hard to really make this happen every week. No fail. They always remind me. They bring out the best in me. So huge shout out to my team at Proximity Outsourcing. If you want your own podcast or if you want to outsource certain parts of your business like virtual assistants, project management, appointment setting, even sales, I actually personally coach our sales team. I would love to know how we can help you scale and grow your business so you can just do fun stuff like podcasts or traveling, spend more time with your nieces and nephews, or maybe take up a new hobby. I actually did that last year. I took up golf and I became more serious at learning Spanish. And I really want to challenge myself and maybe flirt with the idea of learning how to play a brand new instrument this year. So that's a little ambitious, but I feel like if you have your business set up to a certain point where it kind of works for you, instead of you having to really be burnt out and worry about things getting done or money, then, you know, you need a serious change in your business. And, you know, me and my team at Proximity Outsourcing can help. Or if you at least want to check out what we can do for you, you can visit our website at proximityoutsourcing.com. So today is a really good day to discuss this topic. And our topic for today is mental health. So today it's just going to be me, and this is a solo episode, and I'm going to discuss Carla's greatest hits, 15 best things to do for your mental health. Now, I would love to preface that this, I'm not a medical professional. All of these things and suggestions, of course, the title is Carla's greatest hits. So these are basically things that I've done or that I have picked up as habits throughout the years of studying mental health and kind of really experimenting on myself and seeing what kinds of activities serve me right or like are feel good to me and really make a lot of contribution in bettering my mental health. So you will definitely hear a lot of the things that you've already heard from me before, if you follow me on social media, or we've talked, you know, in person, or if you just really know me, if you're my friend, you know that these are the things that I'm really, really passionate about. So I decided, why not make it, you know, a podcast episode? Why not put all of these amazing things, these top 15 things in one go so that you can see and you can experiment, you know, with them and you can see how you feel. My hope and joy would be that you actually pick up one, two, three, or maybe all of these things as habits, and you also get to enjoy better mental health that helps you achieve more in life, show up in your life as a better, I don't know, husband, lover, sister, friend, coach, mentor, boss, employee, whatever role you play, different roles you play in your life. I just want you to show up better. And for me, that is the main benefit of really taking good care of your mental health. So here we go. Top 15 Carla's greatest hits. Number one is meditation. Meditation is a really good habit because, and it is definitely number one because I've been doing it for years and it has definitely helped me get over some of the obstacles of my mental obstacles. So it has helped me recover from overthinking, from, you know, thinking very like fatalistically or something like that. Being a pessimist, you know, there are times when a lot of things are not going well. You forget to pause. You forget to just kind of clear your head. It has helped me with arguments with my partner. You know, I get to really enjoy that moment of pause where I can just enjoy the silence and free my mind from preconceived notions, biases. And it really is an exercise. Let me tell you guys, meditation is both easy and not easy. And don't be intimidated by it. Like someone mentioning to you or telling you that maybe even a voice prompt, if you use a certain app like me, if they tell you to clear your head, try not to think of anything, it actually is not that easy because our brain's job is to think of things and its job is to focus on survival and advancement. And that's what our brain does. But meditation is an exercise to kind of really clear, give you clarity, and also give you a cleaner space to think on. So think of your mind as a house or maybe as an attic, right? Because it's in the upper part of your body, your brain. And cleaning, meditation is like cleaning your attic so that you can decide what to put in there, or if you just want to go there and kind of enjoy the view and daydream, you can do that as well. So my recommendations, definitely to make it easy, you can start with some YouTube meditations or use certain apps that help with it too. My favorite app is Headspace, and I'm going to link it in the show notes if you want to sign up for Headspace. I've been using it for years. I've gifted it to some of my friends who are struggling with their mental health. They have a lot of meditation prompts. They have a lot of guided meditations for certain times in your life, whether you're dealing with losing a loved one or overeating or overwhelm or really different things. It definitely helps. And it's very intentional. And they also give a lot of different advice on improving your your outlook in life. And that's really what I like about that. So on top of that, you know, you can also read about meditation with, you know, different medium articles about it, or different watch some YouTube videos about it. So you can definitely do different ways to go about it. But the important thing is you start doing it. You can start with 30 seconds, 1 minute, and then it's kind of like a muscle. And then you just move up to 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and then 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Some people that I follow or that I look up to meditate 30 minutes a day. Honestly, I'm not there yet, but I do regularly meditate for at least 11 minutes a day because in my app, actually Headspace, there are regular meditations that are three, five, 10, and 20 minutes. And then I usually do the 10 minute one, but It's actually more than 11 minutes because there's a little bit of intro. And then after that, I also do one other video, which is kind of a random video that is not technically meditation, but it helps you change your some sort of outlook in your life. Like yesterday, after I meditated, I watched this video of a Paralympian, like a people like a Special Olympics for people who are differently abled. Right. So, he shared something about goal setting, about, living up to your full potential. And that was really great. And it definitely helped me have a positive mindset throughout the day. So meditation, definitely pick that up. Check out Headspace and check out other meditation apps as well. Number two is journaling. Journaling is writing down your feelings, writing down your thoughts. For me, it's a way to kind of get them out of your head. And the problem with a lot of people is that they are smart and they are actually not that busy, or they are very productive, but their minds are so messy. And so what happens is, despite how smart they are, they forget things, and then they are also kind of in this borderline overwhelmed situation. So journaling helps me kind of face my demons in such a way that I get to write down how I feel in that moment, and then I get to get it out of my system. So it's kind of like a self-therapy where you are your own therapist, right? So you also get to see your thoughts on paper, which is a different kind of confrontation, but it's always good for you. Other practices that you can also do while you're journaling is, you can journal affirmations. You can journal gratitude. Gratitude journaling is actually really, really good for you because it helps you think positively, and it reminds you about all of the good things happening in your life. And when you have this habit of gratitude, it's actually really good for you because if you are in a good mood, a lot of you are more productive because you're more motivated to live life and you're more motivated to do the things that you're supposed to do. And you're just basically feeling good about your existence, honestly. So I would definitely recommend gratitude journaling, journaling your affirmations, journaling your goals and your dreams, journaling about your future partner, your ideal relationship, journaling about your dream house, journaling about your dream money situation, journaling about your dream body and what you're going to do to get there. So just putting these thoughts on paper really kind of sends a message to the universe that your feelings are real and that the universe must also work with you to make these more real. Okay, so that's my opinion. I feel like that's what journaling does to me. It's kind of like you're signing a contract with the universe, you know? So, speaking of affirmations, my top three would definitely be the doing affirmations. So I have this habit of going to YouTube and then just typing wealth affirmations or affirmations for wealth and joy or affirmations for productivity. And affirmations are just a set of positive statements. Like, for example, it says, I am wealthy, I am worthy, I am getting paid a lot of money for my talent. And so it sounds like that, and just over and over again. And it kind of just drills in your head and adjusts your subconscious. The more you're reminded of these things, these amazing things, the more you're reminded of what you're really worthy of and what your brain should be focusing on. So it also heavily relies on the principle of law of attraction, where you're also affirmations also confirm that you definitely want these things. Hence, the universe will help you attract these things. It's kind of like the verbal version, or the verbal contract of journaling. That's my opinion. Again, these are not lexical definitions of affirmations or journaling. And so I am a big believer of the law of attraction. In fact, I want you to look for the episode of about the law of attraction with Andrew Kapp. He is a best-selling author on Amazon, and he wrote the book, the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. It was such an amazing book. I definitely recommend it. And I actually read it back to back, or again and again, not back to back, again and again, three times, because I just love the message so much. And they talk a lot about affirmations. So I love affirmations, and they're good for my mental health because it's very positive and it gives me something to look forward to. Number four is exercise. So exercise for me is a great way to keep my mental health and not just my body in tip-top shape, because it reminds me that I love myself. I think that's the first thing. When I exercise, it is me committing to my body and committing to my duty of taking good care of my body. And I feel like that amount of care, you know, that little, just not much actually, because I enjoy it, but that little sacrifice of making time out of your day to put on your workout clothes. And if you're the kind who actually prepares for your exercise time, for your gym time, you drink a pre-workout, you tie up your hair, you wear your shoes, you have to match your outfit. You bring these ankle weights, you know, which I do. You bring these other accessories. You plan your workouts. Today is back and chest day, and tomorrow is butt day, and then the next day is just a full body cardio. So if you make an effort like that, all of these things are kind of also an investment to your body and just tells your body, hey, I love you and I'm willing to do the things that are good for you because I care about you. And you know, this kind of attitude is actually really, really good, because you get to invest in yourself first before you do things for others. And so that is why I always put exercise as much as I can at the top of my day. So in the morning, most of the time I wake up, I meditate, and then I exercise. I journal and then I exercise. And the other bonus is you get to breathe in such a way that you're bringing fresh oxygen to your brain. So it definitely makes you feel good, wakes you up in a natural way. As a lot of you know, I don't drink coffee. So this is one of the ways that I also wake up. It doesn't have to be actually going to the gym. Whatever exercise means for you, if there's a certain exercise that you enjoy, a certain sport, that also works as well. And don't tell me that you don't have time for it, because even a 20-minute HIIT workout or high intensity interval training does a lot of good to your body. And you can Google this and you can find a lot of evidence that it is actually really good for you. So exercise, it's really good for you. Number five is managing your mood. So I have noticed that even though a lot of things stress me out, I still have the choice to see how I feel, and I can still choose how I feel, right? So managing my mood is definitely one of the best things that I do for my mental health, because it prepares me to be positive and to be bearable, at least at the tasks that I do. So this happens to everyone. You are grumpy. You had a problem that was out of your control. Some people have disappointed you, frustrated you, or something in tech, you know, broke down. Was it your fault? And you couldn't find your way around it. And you also couldn't have avoided it. And you've done your best. And then you're just in a bad mood, right? Or something happened in your home, or, you know, they cut out the water and they didn't tell you. Anyway, a lot of things could just ruin your mood. But I feel like if you let this happen to you in that moment, you still have a choice of how to feel. You know, in that moment, you can definitely feel pissed off or frustrated, but also remember that you have the choice to actually on how to feel, basically. So I feel like managing your mood definitely plays a huge role in your mental health, because this is how you are to yourself and how you are to other people. And so the way you are to other people also affects how they will respond to you. And that could just be, you know, become like either a spiral of bad things or a spiral of good things. So definitely manage your mood. I definitely have gotten better at it. You know, I learn a lot from my partner. He's a much more patient person than me. And he is definitely a master at managing my mood and managing when I'm kind of down or frustrated. And he reminds me of the good things that are yet to come, or things that I should still be grateful about. You know, thankfully, I have learned, you know, in my own way as well. And I'm not, I rarely am in a bad mood. And when I am, I just kind of let it pass, sit with it. And I'm not also obsessed with instantly changing my mood. Sometimes all you need to do is maybe sit down, take a breather, meditate for a bit, maybe journal about it for a bit. That definitely helps. And then you can manage your mood better. And so on to number six, my next advice is manage your hormones. So not just your mood, but a lot of the things that are happening in your body are actually related to your hormones. So if you read a lot about depression, you actually find out that depression is just a kind of your body's mismanagement of hormones, right? You can definitely look this up, but I definitely would recommend that you take a blood test, like a panel, blood panel test. I forgot the correct term for it, and see how all of your hormones line up, all the important hormones, right? So if you're a guy, there's a different set of hormones. If you're a girl, there's a different set of hormones. Definitely, I'm not going to talk all, but I'm not going to do a deep dive on that. I'm not Andrew Huberman, and I'm not a doctor. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. I'm just a really curious frog on social media. So manage your hormones, because that is a scientific way of actually managing your mental health also. Number seven, you know, I'm a big advocate of this, get good sleep. So check out, you know, definitely quick pitch, check out that episode on sleep with Lisabeth Lent. It's on my podcast. You can just scroll up and look for that episode. I think I recorded that early. So it might be somewhere in September, October, I forgot, but definitely look for it, check it out. And you learn a lot about sleep. You learn a lot of like, strategies and tactics. Definitely get good sleep, because first of all, your sleep, the quality of your sleep and the length of your sleep dictates your mood when you start your day, right? And so if you get good sleep, then most likely you will have good mood. So, and then good things start from that. But aside from that, it also affects your metabolism, how heavy you feel, you know, quote unquote heavy, you feel towards the day, and also your motivation to do things and your productivity. So if you get good sleep, it's definitely super good for your mental health, because you're well rested, you can think clearly, and you're making better decisions in general. So getting good sleep also is a good way to take care of your brain. And if you're an entrepreneur, you know, as a lot of the listeners of this podcast are, then making good decisions is probably the best ROI for your business. As Warren Buffett said, the main job of a CEO is to make good decisions. And if a CEO makes 10 good decisions in a year, the company will survive and thrive. All right. So let's definitely get good sleep and check out that episode on sleep. Number eight, take care of your nutrition. So eat well, eat clean, eat pure, eat food that are fresh, organic, hormone-free. You have no idea how much eating well affects your mood, your hormones, and your mental health in general. So I personally have checked what kinds of foods I'm sensitive towards. I did the blood test, and I also studied eating according to your blood type. And I've also experimented on different diets. I went on the pescatarian diet. I went on a lacto-ovo diet. I went on a vegan diet, very, very small amount of my life. Honestly, it's probably, 4 days. And I don't feel good. And it wasn't good for my digestion as well. But I now stick to mostly organic meat and some cruciferous vegetables and taking my supplements daily. And my favorite supplements are NMN, magnesium at night, tryptophan, 5-HTP for mood. Those are great too. Let me think. I drink prebiotics, sometimes prebiotic supplements. Fish oil is also another one. But you can definitely experiment on different supplements. But at the end of the day, it would still be the best to, you know, read, learn, and then experiment, and then Of course, ask your doctor if something is kind of not safe. But so far, the supplements that I've checked out are pretty safe. So I didn't really like need to talk to a doctor about that because the risks are low. So take good care of your nutrition, because how heavy you feel and how healthy you are, and if you're not tired, you know, these things affect your mental health, and it affects your mood, it affects your hormones and your sleep, and affects how you feel. And the way you show up in your business as an entrepreneur is actually dependent on how you feel. Honestly, and that's why I really emphasize these things when it comes to taking good care of your mental health. Now we're going to a more philosophical path. Now, my number 9 tip would be reduce your wants. And this might be kind of a stoic / Buddhist approach on things, but I used to be really materialistic. I have been in that trap of buying branded purses and always looking to buy something like jewelry or watch to, I don't know, maybe to show off to people or to remind myself that I've come this far. Or maybe because I grew up poor and I didn't really have a lot of things, and now I'm spoiling myself to remind myself. I don't know. I don't want to turn this into a therapy session, because you would not like that. Or you would like it because you're like, oh my God, I love hearing about Carla's weaknesses. I just want to know how I can twist the knife. But really, I think reducing your wants and taking a certain approach on life where you only want very few things and need very few things, and keep things simple, it's definitely done a lot of good for my mental health, because it has made me not worry about other things. It has also made me manage my money better, which is always good for your mental health, because the way that you manage your money, or the way money is in your life, affects how you think. And we cannot deny that, okay? So reducing your wants and prioritizing the things in your life that are actually truly important to you and move the needle in your life in such a way that it is really meaningful, instead of just random materialistic things and experiences that you don't really care about. You just want to post something on social media, or you were jealous that your friend did this and now you want to do it. So be more mindful about the things that you want, and then really get to the bottom of why you want those things, and then only work towards the things that you actually genuinely want. Okay, that was a little long-winded. Number 10 is train your intuition. So I play poker, and I would try to really connect to the energy of the players to help me play well. And that is my own way of training my intuition. And the other thing is, I would also, this sounds silly, but sometimes I would also try to telepathically communicate my wants to the people that are closest to me, like my partner or my sisters or my best friends. And sometimes they would go through, and it's just kind of fun. So training your intuition is good for your mental health, because it increases how much you trust yourself. And I really believe in the power of intuition, because we are supercomputers, and all of our 5 senses are picking up data, and it's called stimuli, right? So all the colors you see, all the items you see, all the sounds you hear, all the things you taste and items that you touch, all of this are stimuli. And your intuition is the processed stimuli that is just at the back of your head, that sits in your subconscious, because we can't fit everything in our conscious brain. And so when you say, oh, I have a feeling, but you can't explain it, sometimes your brain knows what it is, but you can't really, you know, articulate it, because it's like your RAM can only take so much. You know, I mean, I hope you get that. I hope I'm not very bad at explaining like these computer metaphors or something like that, but train your intuition. It's good for you, and it's good for your mental health. Those are the things that I do. You could probably do other things, but it's definitely a worthy investment if you ask me. The next thing is add more honesty into your life with people that are important to you. So there are people that are important to you, and then I believe that you owe them the truth. But most importantly, you owe yourself the truth. So this principle could probably work in terms of, first of all, like reducing your wants, like we talked about that earlier. So if you're fully honest with yourself about why you want something, if you really get down to it, you will clearly see if the idea is good or bad. And so adding more honesty into your life, I feel like it just erases lack of clarity. And it also helps you feel good because you're living up to your truth. So a lot of the depression, anxiety, and these things happen is because a lot of people pretend to be someone that they're not, or they're kind of compromising on things or resenting certain things in their life, which means that they don't live in full honesty, and they are not fully honest with the people that they love or the people around them. So one, I'll give you an example if this is still not super clear for you. I took a CEO job, and I feel like at the later part of it, I just did it for my ego. If I was to be fully honest, I actually didn't like it because I was the way that it was set up. Obviously, I am to blame because I set it up a certain way, but the way that it was set up was that I was working more than 40 hours a week. I was just making things happen. And I was stuck with certain people that I didn't want to manage, that I feel like were not contributing to the company properly. And they're also demotivating the other teammates. And I was just stuck with these people. And I tried to really make it work, and I did my best. A lot of people knew that I work so hard. I work more than 40 hours a week. And I genuinely even went out of my way, even on weekends, to just make things work. But I was so dishonest with myself. I thought that that's what it takes to make things work. But when I sat down and was fully honest, I realized that I just needed to take myself out of the situation because there was something that I could not do anything about. And I knew that actually from the start. And I just kind of kept lying to myself and thinking that arrogantly, I would be the one who could fix it, or I would be the one who could make things happen and bend reality and all that. So I'm definitely happy that I was fully honest with myself. And I've also vowed to be honest with the people around me, and I'm not lying about how things actually went, and just made me feel really good. It made me feel really good. And as a result, a lot of good things are also happening in my business and in my life. I'm much happier now. Even my skin cleared up just by adding more honesty and purity. I think that's it. Adding more honesty and purity in your life and prioritizing that. Because living in your truth definitely has a lot of benefits for your mental health. You're not hiding anything. You're not worrying. You're not anxious about, you know, trying to make things not as they are or seem like, you know, not what they actually are. So that's definitely one of the things that I recommend to improve your mental health, add more honesty into your life. And along with that is saying no to more things. When you reduce your wants and you add more honesty into your life, you also see yourself saying no to certain things that are not needed, certain things that you used to do for other people, but not to yourself. Certain things that you take, you eat, you do, you add to your life, you write, you do in your business that do not align with who you are anymore. So one of the things in my outsourcing company that we always highlight whenever we are on a sales call, you know, my sales team does this, is we always ask our client, what is the ideal business that you want to have? And what is the ideal life that you want to have? And how can we make your business serve the ideal life that you have in mind? Because we don't want your business to be another job for you. And we don't want your business to be a source of just kind of, you know, resentment or burnout. So we will definitely want you to have your business serve the life that you want instead of the other way around. So I found myself saying no to more things and feeling better about it. I've just kind of drawn my boundaries better and communicating it more lovingly and improving on how I communicate my desires and my boundaries, and just kind of continue working on that, asking for feedback but definitely saying no to a lot of things and going back, coming home to your truth is very, very important. And you will see that when you start doing this, your mental health will improve for sure. The next thing that I want to share, we're almost done, we're almost to 15, is spend more time in nature. So if you guys remember when it was the pandemic, there were a lot of people who picked up taking care of plants and taking care of pets as their new hobby. So in the Philippines, there was even a term that they made famous. It's called plantita, plant, and which is plants, and tita, which is kind of like means auntie or something. So plantita is like an auntie that's obsessed with plants or something like that. But what it taught me is that when we are depressed and when our mental health needs help, you know, as with a lot of people during the pandemic, is that we always go back to what feels good. And part of that is being in nature. In fact, that's one of the reasons I picked up golf, because it's a hobby that I can do outside, you know, under the sun. I love the smell of the grass, the trees rustling, seeing these animals, and kind of running towards greatness while doing all of that. And that's why I love golf. So spending more time in nature, move out, you know, just move out of your house. That did not land correctly, but spend more time outside of your house. Maybe pick up a sport that requires you to do that. Get out more, get some sun. You will see how much difference it makes in terms of having a healthier mental state. So spend more time in nature, add more plants to your house. Oh, by the way, I want to share this with you. I read that the ratio for plants to humans for plants producing 24 hours of fresh oxygen is the ratio needs to be 9:1, meaning 9 plants to 1 person on average. So if there's 2 people in your house, I recommend having at least 18 plants around your house because they produce fresh oxygen, and that is good for you. Okay, and the second to the last tip that I want to give for improved mental health is spend more time in self-care. Spend more time alone. Spend more time taking care of yourself. I don't care if that means washing your hair a little bit longer, sleeping in a little bit longer, you know, eating the food that you like and really cherishing it. I don't even care if you want to binge watch something on Netflix. Just regularly do something that reminds yourself that you love yourself. For me, it's getting massages, going to the spa, doing hair treatments and getting a head massage. It's also going to my Reiki healer. Reading is also a form of self-care for me. I super enjoy reading. And every time I'm just obsessed or deep into a book, I just forget the time passing. So these are the hobbies, or these are the things that you should do for your self-care, because these are the things that remind you how beautiful it is to exist, how beautiful life is. And the more you take care of yourself, the more you are reminded that you're worthy, that you're valuable, that you have a lot to give. And just these thoughts and these kind of mental affirmations also contribute to a better mental health, because it helps you see that if you take good care of you, then other people, then you also deserve good care from other people. And participating in beautiful self-care activities actually helps you become a more well-rounded person that would have less need for the validation of other people, because you already give validation and care to yourself. In fact, all of these activities that I shared with you right now, 15 things to do to improve your mental health, all of these things are related to self-care. So I 100% recommend that you kind of think about your favorite self-care activities and find a way to do it more regularly. And the last, but not the least, advice that I'm going to give you to improve your mental health is improve your habits for goal setting and achievement. Nothing feels as good as getting your goal achieved. I think also the more goals you achieve, the more you will continue to achieve. And it's just kind of like a snowball of positive things happening to you and your life. So there's a lot of ways to improve productivity, goal setting, and achievement. You can start with a vision board. You can start by setting certain reward and punish, maybe rewards, just rewards. Reward system for yourself, even if it's as small as if I write 2 pages of my book, I'm going to eat a Kit Kat afterwards or something like that. Or have a really big and audacious goal and set the steps to achieve it. If you have a really good system in place for goal setting and achievement, it is so good for your mental health, because when you achieve something, you feel good, and then you're more inspired to achieve more things. And not only that, you're also inspired to make it happen for other people, especially the people you love and the people that are close to you. And you know, when you're that kind of person, then you are a ripple of goodness to the world. And isn't that awesome? And I'm trying to be that. And that's why I created this podcast. So that's it. That's my greatest hits. Those are my 15 best things to do to improve your mental health. Let's do a quick recap. Number one, meditation, journaling, affirmations, get some exercise, manage your mood, manage your hormones, get good sleep, take good care of your nutrition, eat pure, eat organic, eat healthy, reduce your wants, or try to not want things and take a Buddhist/stoic approach on things. Number 10, train your intuition. Next is add more honesty into your life, especially with the people you love. Say no to inessential things. Next is spend time in nature, get out of your house and feel the grass and smell the roses. Number 14 is spend time in self-care and show yourself that you love yourself. And number 15, last but not the least, of course, have a set system and continuously improve on this system for goal setting and achievement. All right, so that's it. I hope you learned a lot from my greatest hits episode today. If you have any suggestions, just message me on Facebook, Carla Singson, or on Instagram. It's at Carla Stefan. And please click follow or subscribe and give me up to a 5-star review. I would be so happy. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, and see you next Monday for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have 2 conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.